Moment, Pastor Taylor is going to be coming up to preach for us this morning. He and I are flipping, and I wanted to invite you to please come back tonight. Tonight we have a very special candlelight service planned. Thursday night, all of the participants we met here to just kind of do a run through, and I have to say my heart was blessed with just a partial run through of it. It's beautiful. That's how I've been describing it. So I hope you'll be back here tonight at 6 o'clock for that. And now I'll turn this over to Pastor Taylor.
All right. Let's go ahead and turn over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And you might be turning over to a couple different passages, but I believe everything will be on the screen for you. I hope you weren't jealous this morning. Pastor and I had to use a hymnal because our cheat sheet on the back wall is not working correctly. So I just didn't want you to get mad at us and become totally distracted during the sermon because we used a hymnal and you couldn't. We tried to stay socially distanced as much as possible, but it's really hard to share a hymnal staying socially distanced. So I guess we'll just have to deal with it, right? You'll probably never have a Christmas sermon titled like this again. A COVIDified Christmas. And yes, I think I made that term up. And that's okay because we make terms up like that. But I felt like this was the only year that I could use this title title for a sermon, so I went for it. And how many times have you heard the Christmas story? One time, five times, 10, 15, 375 times, 1,275,000 times. I mean, we have heard it over and over again. And guess what? Tonight you're going to hear some more of this scripture being read about the Christmas story. And I hope when I say Christmas story, you know what I'm talking about, and that's Jesus. Not like Christmas shoes or Elf or It's a Wonderful Life or something like that. I'm hoping you're thinking of Jesus here. But I want to give you a different perspective on the story this year in relation to what we've been going through all year long. Because things have changed. As Pastor notated earlier with COVID, and how many times do we use COVID throughout our conversation every single day? And yet, 10 months ago, we never used it at all. We didn't know what COVID was, okay? But, when we use it constantly, things have changed in our life. You know, our annual report might be one page instead of 10 pages. You know, we might save a few trees this year. Things have changed. We've had to find do you like this term, a new normal? Okay, is that, some of you got angry whenever I stated that because you will not accept that at all. But yet, guess what? Things will never return back to normal. I think we forgot what normal looks like. It'll never return back. In fact, I hope things don't return back as to what I was doing beforehand, because there was a lot that God cleaned out of my life that I don't need. I don't know if you noticed that. But here we are in the Christmas season, and our December calendar got wiped. And I don't feel as stressed this year. I don't know about you. But I don't feel like getting Christmas done and over with, you know, not as many practices, not as many school performances, not as many. But as we get into this today, in Luke chapter 1, I wanted to take a different twist on this so that you don't just come in and say, oh, he's going to read through it again. I've heard this a million times. Let's just read through it and then get that different taste of a COVIDified Christmas. Point number one, we're going to talk about the gender reveal. Has anybody ever had a gender reveal party? Okay, how many guys think a gender reveal party is a complete waste of time? Thank you, at least two, three, okay. I think so too, but my wife wants to punch me whenever I say that. I'm like, oh, really? Balloons go up in the air. How many of you love to watch gender reveal parties that go wrong? Like when those shooters that shoot the confetti up in the air and they have it backwards and they shoot it at themselves. Have you ever watched that? Do you chuckle? I mean, is it funny? Or when the balloon that they filled with helium, the kid lets it go and it goes up into the air and they're like, what do we do? It was supposed to pop. We don't know. Okay. All right, you'll figure it out soon. You'll figure it out. There's only two options that you'll figure it out, okay? But as we get into this, Mary and Joseph, you know, when they had their gender reveal, they didn't go and record it. They didn't let it go on Funniest Home Videos. It was very different. So in Luke chapter 1, in verse 26, let's start there. Luke 1 in verse 26, it starts there. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, how many of you, if all of a sudden you were doing your daily routine and an angel appeared unto you, how many of you would slowly walk backwards out of the house? What in the world? What was in that eggnog? Right? Okay. Did I get the wrong kind? No wonder it was discounted. It was expired. Okay. What is going on here? And all of a sudden, Mary, who's sort of engaged to Joseph, okay? They weren't quite husband and wife, but it was that process beforehand where it's kind of like our engagement, and to show purity, they weren't supposed to be together for like a year, and then Joseph was supposed to come and get her, and yet it was totally different culture, and they did it a little bit differently. But all of a sudden, this angel shows up to this virgin who's staying pure for the sake of what God wants her to do before she gets married, and for the sake of her husband who she's been promised to. And this angel shows up and says, hey, you're highly favored. The Lord's with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Okay. As you go on, it says, And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. I mean, wouldn't you have the same exact response? What in the world is this being showing up in my house, doing in front of me, and then talking to me, and yet saying, oh, nice things to me. I mean, you're highly favored. But what usually happens when somebody comes up to you and says, hey, good buddy, old pal, friend for life? What do you want? Some of you, when you see me or pastor coming at you and we've got a big old smile on our face, and you know that somebody needs voluntold for something, right? And what do you want? Yes. I'll do it, fine. You think Mary might have been in this type of a situation where all of a sudden she has a plan to get married and somebody shows up who is not a normal being who shows up, unscheduled, unplanned. How many of you, let me just ask this. How many of you have a house that is ready for company at all times? Anyone? Pastor? Yeah, that's it. I don't see any other hands. Okay. So anybody like surprise visits where all of a sudden pastors just shows up at your door and says, hey, you just open it up a crack. Hey, what do you need? My kids have been playing this morning. Okay. It's too early. It's 10 o'clock. But I mean, honestly, how many times do we like things to be scheduled out and people showing up at our front door and all of a sudden this guy shows up, this angel shows up kind of weird and she's worried about what he's going to say. You go on in verse 29 or verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Wouldn't you have the same question? Hold on. In this culture, in this day and age, it would not be good for her to end up being pregnant before she even gets with Joseph. What's going to happen? Well, he could, what he would say later on, he could put her away, which would mean a letter of divorcement. You know, to put that out there, to separate from her, because obviously she was impure. At least he thought. At least other people would think. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I would have the same response as Mary for some angel showing up in my household telling me things that were outside of my plan, right? And to pull me outside of what would be culturally accepted or my family would despise me for, right? And so all of a sudden, things just changed. Now, let me give you the COVIDified side of this. You say, what, COVID showed up back when Mary was... No. But you know, when COVID showed up, things changed for us. I remember trying to plan a missions conference. And in the midst of missions conference, we decided We're not going to have any more missions conference in person. We're just going to have the missionaries come and they'll just do a live stream, and everybody this will just be all online. You know, I had a full schedule all planned out. Well, I guess it's good for next year, right? And then I'm just giving you my side of the story, okay? Let me vent here for a little while. And then VBS shows up. Oh, yeah, we'll have that in person, no problem. How many like VBS in person? I love VBS in person, okay? And seeing all the kids come in and being able to interact with them and seeing them memorize their verses and be excited about their prizes and carnival. Oh, guess what? The assistant pastor's now in charge of VBS, and guess what? He canceled the carnival. Good job. Great job. Wait. And then, Christmas program gets tossed off into January. Really? Can we even do that? Is that allowed? Is that ungodly? I mean, come on. There should be a confession of sin before God on that kind of a thing. How could you mess with traditions like that? I'm rambling here, but in that sense of, I mean, really thinking about what's going on here in this situation, everything changed, and how willing were we to accept those changes? Could God still work when everything goes crazy in my life? Because if we don't agree with that statement, then why are we even reading the Christmas story? Because for Mary, everything changed in her life. Can you imagine? Oh, really? I mean, I'm supposed to be getting married. I mean, what about the honeymoon? I want at least 2 years with him alone, okay? He can't go anywhere. He can't do anything. Just me. That's it. I mean, have you ever heard that from newlyweds? Where they say, he can't even go anywhere without me. He's going to stay right here, and we're going to hold hands and have devos together every day and drink hot chocolate and put it all on Facebook. And we're just going to look perfect, right? I can you imagine? You know what she did with her phone, right, after this? Yeah, she didn't have a phone. I know. I'm just trying to put it into our time. She went in, and she deleted the whole entire calendar. Well, I'm not going to feel good for that one. Morning sickness is going to mess up that one. I mean, do you think she had morning sickness? Well, who knows? It doesn't say it in the Bible, but I imagine she had all the normal things that women deal with. I don't know. I've never experienced it, okay? I just know from Keeley talking about it. And you know, if you hit any bump on the road, which happens a lot in Illinois, right? Okay, what do you get? Taylor, that did not feel good. We went back up to Michigan, right as soon as you turned on the road to go to the church, there's this little dip in the road. They put in in Michigan, they like to do it this way. They like to redo the road and then rip it out to put in a new culvert and then redo it again. That's how they like to spend good money, all right? But that's what they did, right, as soon as you go onto the road. And this time in Michigan, when we were up there, when we drove past that, I looked over at her and I smiled. You want to know why? Because every time we went over that when she was pregnant with the child, I'm trying to take it slow. I'm sorry. And this time I looked over at her and I went, and she's like, really? You know, she gave me that look. If you've ever seen that look when she gives it to me, that's what she did, okay? I mean, but everything changed for Mary. Her relationship changed. Now, let's just give it personally, okay? When I got engaged a couple days later, I went off to Ireland for several months. And then we were trying to plan a wedding over Skype. And then I came home, got to see her for a little bit, went back to school for the next semester. She came and visited a couple times, okay, so there wasn't much time. But then what if Keeley would have showed up right before our wedding and said, Taylor, I'm pregnant. Be like, well, I've been gone most of the time, okay? So there is an issue here. Who's the daddy? God? Now, how many of you guys would believe that? Really? You think I'm dumb? Maybe you do, but I'm not that dumb. I mean, think about that. What kind of a conversation would be going on in that moment? Everything changed. Going up to mom and dad. Mom and dad, new plans. Everything changed. The angel described her in a really good way, but I don't know. Those plans, I'm not sure it was worth the, oh, you're highly favored. That's just my thoughts. That's just, I guess you would say it, that's my flesh speaking, right? How many of you would feel the exact same way? And yet, how does Mary respond? She responded with, okay, let's do this. That's Taylor paraphrased. Let's do this. She knows what's ahead of her. Let's do this. As you go on, an angel shows up for Joseph too. So if you go over to Matthew chapter 1, and it should be on the screen for you, so to save time. But Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, it goes on there. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. So he says, okay, we'll take care of this behind the scenes. I don't want to humiliate her in front of everyone else. Let's just write this off. We'll be done. And he was a nice guy. But while he thought on these things, in verse 20, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with the child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you had your name or the name of your child picked by someone else? Anybody in here? It's not really natural. Style and Whitney, would your parents have picked out Sawyer? Probably not, okay? They would probably said Dan. Dan is the name that you need to use, right? I don't think that my parents would have picked out the name Kian, okay? Because it wasn't even on their radar, all right? But just think, if somebody else came in and picked out the name, listen, Joseph, your wife's pregnant, and you just got to deal with it. Just take her as your wife, and the name's already picked out. It's going to be a son. It's not yours, but you got to treat it like it's yours. Joseph, you got to take on this responsibility, because we need to fulfill prophecy here. This is how it's got to be. Now, again, I don't know about you, but my flesh would cry out in this moment. But what will people think of me? Whose wife got, or soon-to-be wife, just got pregnant, and how am I going to deal with this when culture expects me to do this? The religious leaders expect me to do this. My you know, all my family members would most likely expect me to do this, and yet I am going to go against that and just follow suit and take care of this child. By the way, he's a good stepdad who just takes in this child as his own, knowing there's a higher purpose. But I don't know about you. Here's another thing that just shot out to me. How many of you love that your child is good at everything? Like Mason. Mason, he's good at everything. He's just, he's not. I thought he was good at knocking tires off of a vehicle. There, that's good. Okay, maybe we should use somebody else. Okay, Tyler, she is just perfect at everything, right? Carlton? No? Oh. Who else should we? Caitlin, she's perfect at everything. Okay, so we'll just go with it. Just go with it, all right? Let me continue on with the sermon. Okay, so she's good at everything. That means she's just a star student, which you have to invest time into that, right? Into your schoolwork. You have to invest a lot of time into that. She's an excellent instrumentalist and singer, so you have to invest time into that. And since she's just so popular, she's got all these friends. They're always wanting her to come over to all these things and do all of these things to dress up the American Girl doll just a specific way, right? And so then all that time and then I don't know, but Caitlin's really good at drama too, so you've got to invest a lot of emotional and mental into her as well, right, Caitlin? Yes, you agree with that? That's why you're giggling, okay? But there is so much going on in here that you have to invest in, and so this all of this takes time, right? Can you imagine being the parent of Jesus? Can I just have a normal child, please? I'll take the athletics and all the schoolwork and all of that, but everybody expects him to be the Savior, right? Well, some do. But then other people hate his guts. Like the religious leaders that come later on and they're constantly coming up and questioning him about everything. Oh, and later on he gets put on the cross. He's spit upon. He's whipped. He's ridiculed. God, can I just have a normal child? I don't know if I can take this emotionally. Have you ever thought about it like that? Everything changes. Wait, God, this isn't my child? Okay. Yeah. I'll take care of this child. Oh, it's not going to be a normal life. Nope. I'll handle it with your help. Everything changed. When he had to stand up and deal with all that was changing around him and what people were expecting of him, everything changed, and yet he took it. You go on, and there's a unique hospital stay in Luke chapter 2. And listen, we got to travel through this fast, right? Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, it goes on, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Everybody really got excited in that moment. You just got an adrenaline rush. Or you know that the year is coming up and you should maybe start preparing for that, or if you're self-employed, okay, anything, anyway. Or maybe you're waiting for some new taxes to be placed on you, right? You can't wait. Everyone in the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. That's not like she was feeling great. That means she was about to pop, right? So they have to travel and be taxed while trying to have a child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I mean, you've heard this a million times, haven't you? And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Let's stop right there. Think about it this way. Again, change is happening. All of a sudden, some politician wants to tax everybody. And you'd think that there'd be a more efficient way of doing this, but there's not. He has to travel to a different town while his wife is pregnant and go through all that. And she could give birth at some point, right? Anytime soon, she could have this child. But they got to, while they're dealing with all the expenses of what's going on here, they got to go get taxed. So they got to pay money, go to a totally different place who has no room for them. It's not like they could just call up Priceline or go on the internet and book their stay. They show up. Things don't go as planned. Nothing's happening right. And they have this child who's supposed to be the Savior of the world. And yet, there's no room anywhere where they could have a normal bed. They can't be at home where it's comfortable. They can't. They're out in the stable. And they get to place this Savior of the world into a manger. Wait, God, is this how it's supposed to work? God, I was expecting this birth to be so much more exciting. I had it all planned out at home with my family around me. I mean, there's probably a load of things that's coming to your mind right now. And all of the things that you were preparing for, I mean, when we were having a child, you had to have the car seat there and available. You had to have the whole bag ready and raring to go. And then as a dad, you needed stuff to do while you're waiting, right? Okay, so you had to pack your getaway bag too. As you go through, some things happen expectedly, like an emergency C-section. Oh, wait a minute, that's not expectant. When Riley was born, that day, I worked all day long at the factory, went and taught youth group. She was supposed to go in and be induced that night on a Wednesday night because she was past due date, right? And so then all throughout the night, most of the night, I was awake. Keely seemed to sleep through everything. They gave her the epidural the next day. She seemed to sleep through everything. I was wide awake, right? Me and my mother-in-law, and you know, it's great times with mother-in-law. Actually, I love my mother-in-law. Anyway, we were just having a great old time watching her, you know, getting prepped and ready, and then all of a sudden, it's time. You know, water breaks and everything, and we're ready to go, and let's do this, right? Except for the baby's not coming. And all of a sudden, Keely starts to close back up, and baby's saying, I ain't coming out. This is a crazy world. We live in Flint. I ain't coming out, right? And so they say, well, in order to get Riley out, we need to go and have an emergency C-section. Okay, great. Let's do this. Not exactly planned. You know, I was ready and raring to be a dad, right? And so then I go back there, and some men say, go and peek behind the curtain. I don't do that. That's nuts, right? And so that's one of the hardest things to watch your wife deal with. And man, they're just not very nice during a C-section. Here's your guts right here. Whoa. And I'm just like, Keely, are you okay? Wasn't as planned. By the time we actually got Riley, I was so stinking tired. And they said, go back and sleep for a little bit. So I went back, and then they came and said, now you can meet your child. Huh? I was so tired. I went in there. I saw the child. I don't think I looked very excited at all. And I said, Keely, I don't even know what's going on. I'm going back to bed. And I walked back out, and it didn't go as planned. The other two were much better. We had planned C-sections for those. And more issues, yes, but planned. But just thinking, all the things that they're dealing with, going and getting taxed, everything changes. It wasn't exactly planned out in this manger. And then all of a sudden, these angels show up to shepherds who are on the job. What am I going to do with all these animals, right? And what is going on out here in the middle of nowhere? What is going on? Yet, what do? They followed suit. The angels told them to go and see the baby, a savior born in a stable. Wait, is our savior supposed to be born there? So many things that aren't expected. But then they go in, and I'm going to give you the rest of the story. They go in and they praise God. They go around and tell everybody else praising God. And here's these weird shepherds that are coming in after you've just had a child. And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. They're all excited. And keep calm. I'm trying to keep this baby calm and sleeping, right? They're going around and praising God. They're all excited. Craziness. Just absolute craziness. You go over into Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Here's their baby shower. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Here we go, a baby shower. That's a little late. It's a little late. More unexpected visitors. Wise men traveling from afar. They come in to the local politician and they ask him what's going on. He's confused. And he's going around searching this out. I mean, it's supposed to be somebody special coming into your culture. Why wouldn't you just be prepared for this, right? Can you imagine the wise men thinking that? Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Well, they're going and they're waiting for what's happening here. Then Herod's all of a sudden, he's like, wait, somebody's threatening my position. Somebody's might come in the way of me holding this kingship here. Somebody might take over. What's going on here? And so he sets up a plan to oust this supposed new ruler, right? And he sends these wise men all on along, and here's Mary and Joseph. They have this young child, okay? So that means that it's not at the birth, it's later on. How old was he? Well, probably under two, because we'll find out later what's going on here with their first vacation. But as we see here that these wise men, they show up unexpectedly to this house, Joseph and Mary dealing with more visitors, right? More people with their normal child. And they bring frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Now, have you ever heard of Tim Hawkins? He's a comedian, a Christian comedian, and he's got something to say about this. He says, what good is those three items going to do Jesus? He's a baby. Why didn't you bring like a teether or a blanket to keep him warm, or, you know, all of these things that were more immediate, because new parents think more immediate. They don't think far ahead. They're thinking, what's going to get this child to calm down right now, right? Anybody there with me? Okay, you're thinking immediately. Why? What do I need to do? Pacifier. Where is it at? Where is it at? Have you ever been in those moments, new parents, experienced ones? Where is the pacifier? No, it has to be a certain one. Don't give me that brand. It has to be this brand. But they bring these three gifts. Why? Probably to prepare them for their first vacation. What are these unexpected guests there for? You say, wait, their first vacation? I don't remember them talking about a first vacation in the Christmas story. I don't remember them going on a cruise or, going to a resort and going listening to the timeshare spiel for a couple of hours so you could have a free night's hotel, right? I don't remember them doing that. How do they deal with this? And wait, there's a plot against Joseph and Mary and this new child. You go over to verse 13. It says, and here's their first vacation. When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Hold on, God. You want us to just leave right now? Leave my job? Well, let me go ask my boss if I get a couple of weeks, sick vacation that I could throw in here. Oh, they didn't do that back then. There wasn't unemployment. There was nothing provided there. Right? Just get out. Your child could be killed. So it goes on. It says, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And there was until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men and was exceeding wroth, he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream of Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. And here's their first wonderful vacation. I wonder if they're going to put pictures in the scrapbook. Do you know, I wonder if that gold, frankincense, and myrrh, I wonder if they took that out, sold it, so that they could get where they needed to go to save their child's life. That's just a thought. Maybe God provided that before they even knew that they needed to leave. You ever thought of it that way? But here it is. Someone is trying to get rid of my son. Parents, how would you respond in this moment? Emotions? Whew. What are we going to do? I got to go to powder keg. Let's get this. I'm going to have a showdown. What's going to happen? In the midst of all of this and all this craziness, more change, more traveling, more financial issues, more bad politicians. And even when they came, they had another bad politician show up. Does it remind you of anything? All this craziness going on, all this stuff, all of this unexpected, and yet Joseph and Mary, they just do what they're told when God tells them to do it. Oh, and then throw in the mass murder of children. You say, this is Christmas, for crying out loud. It's supposed to be happy. You're right. I'm not there yet. But all throughout this COVIDified Christmas, things changed. Things were crazy. Things were stressful. Things were emotional. And yet, what did Mary and Joseph do? They did what God wanted them to do. And God prepared them all the way. Had them protected. Had them in safety. Yes, it wasn't much of what their plan was. Otherwise, they would have said that the angel didn't show up. Mary and Joseph just came up with this plan that they needed to go to Egypt. It wasn't their plan. And yet, what did they do? They followed the will of God. So what does this have to do anything with me? I mean, does this, any correlation? Yes, there's a whole bunch of correlation. Jesus came and later died to provide salvation for those who would follow after him. And yet that salvation isn't just a one and done to where I got saved and I can go about my own life and do whatever I want. That salvation was a commitment to Jesus Christ to follow him. No matter how weird, crazy, nutso things got. No matter how much things changed, God, I trust you. God, I'll be okay. God, it's okay. Things in my life have changed. Things are not normal. I don't understand what's happening. Oh, maybe I should just give this over to you, God. Do you get the correlation? So ending out 2020, instead of hating the year of 2020 and saying, I just wish it was over and I'm just tolerating it because there's just a few more days, let's give it to God. Be thankful for all he's done and realize that he's got it all under control. He's got a plan, and I can be faithful to him because he'll be faithful to me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for all that you've got here, and there's so much to this Christmas story, and it take forever to get through and really take this piece by piece. But God, I believe that the point is made.